So the next part, and this was sort of happening all along, is designing these traps. So we, as teachers, sort of put together, and with help from community partners and fishermen, of, you know, what is it that you have to think about when you're designing a trap to catch a fish? And there's different parts of this. So that you need to think about the physical characteristics, how big will the trap be, what color will it be? Those are the questions you have to answer. How will the fish get in to the trap, and how do we get fish in the trap without getting lobster or other fish in the trap? That's a sort of technical, there's a lot to think about in designing that. How do you keep fish in the trap once they stay in there? How do you lure them in? So what are your bait systems gonna be, and where are you gonna put the bait? What kind of bait are you gonna use? How's it gonna stay? Where in the trap should it be? Those are questions you have to answer. And how do you answer those questions? You have to know the fish, right? Ergonomics is about how you handle it on the boat. So how many can you trap? You know, you want to build traps that you can stack, that you can handle, that are you can pull over the rail. It was really interesting. I heard students talking about traps, trap design, and thinking about, well, if you built the trap that way, we'd have to make the davy bigger on our boat. So those are things I never would have thought about, but, you know, or that the trap, if we build a trap like this, it has to come up this way, and if it comes up the other way, the fish will fall out. So those are definitely things to think about, and then what materials are we going to use. So those are, that's a lot to think about, designing a trap. And one of the really cool things that happened is sort of serendipitous. Ian and I were sitting in after a meeting, and I just like randomly Google or on YouTube put in winter flounder traps, right? So, you know, there's everything on YouTube. So I figured, yeah, someone's got something about winter flounder traps. And sure enough, it turns out North Carolina is actually really interested in building flounder traps because they're having so much issue with bycatch and their gill nets for turtles. So we found this video of these guys down in North Carolina who were just getting ready to test a whole bunch of different designs that they had figured out for flounder traps. So it was pretty cool, and we actually connected with them. We called them up, and Ian became pretty good friends with the guys down there, and talked to them, what are you doing, and how did it go? And so we actually Skyped with these guys at our day at MMA, which was pretty neat. And it really helped the kids sort of think outside of the box of a lobster trap. Because really, your idea of a trap is lobster traps. That's what you've seen, right? So have you ever seen a fish trap before? I haven't. So who's fishing with fish traps? I don't see them. So what does it look like? So it really helped kind of get the kids thinking a little bit outside of the box, which is pretty neat. From there, the students designed traps within their schools. So 7 schools, but we decided that we only wanted to have 4 types of traps. So they had in teams, they had to work together to narrow it down. So the schools were paired up, and they had to, between their 2 designs, figure out 1 design. And I think that's been a little bit of a challenge because you get really invested in your design, but it also comes back to being able to defend your design. You know, what's your design all about? Why is your design better than another design? So that's where we are right now. That's what we've accomplished. And what we still have to do is looking at business and marketing plans. We also have to finish designing our study. So how often will we fish the traps? What data will we collect? What will the data sheets look like? We have to finish doing that. Then we also have to fish the traps. So that's a pretty big thing. And thinking about this, students are doing this as school. And so students will actually have time off from school to fish traps, which is a pretty interesting thing to think about doing. But it's not actually time off from school, it's just time out of school. So they'll be doing school on their boat, fishing traps. And so it's a pretty exciting thing to think about that. So we actually have to get boats that are inspected, and we have to talk about things like insurance for boats, which you won't think you have to talk about in school. We have to collect the data, and then we also need to present our findings. So Todd told you that you weren't going to hear any more educational jargon, but I'm going to throw a little bit at you as an educational consultant who's working on some school reform stuff. And we all thought it might be helpful for you to hear this as well. It's pretty interesting to think about how do students actually get credit for this. So you probably think about a more traditional way of doing this where this could be an independent study for a student or an elective or a capstone project or even a service learning project. But the Skippers program is really pushing forward to think about this being what students do instead of doing other things in school. So as a way to meet your English and your math and your science requirements, you would be doing this project or working on these this curriculum. So it's not on top of what you're doing, it is what you're doing. So we call that proficiency-based education. You may have heard of that before. And the way that this works is, instead of saying you need 20 credits or 23 credits to graduate from high school, we say, here are the things you need to learn to graduate from high school. It's literally a list of things we call standards. And so when you break down a diploma into that list, students have lots more options for how they can meet or learn those things. And so within that style of education, which a lot of the schools we're working with are moving towards, these kind of things become what you do instead of doing English class or math class. So as students are researching Flounder, or as they're building, analyzing their data, or as they're presenting to the DMR, those are things that they're actually getting credit for instead of doing other things that they're doing. So if you hear that going on in your communities or schools or in the news, people are talking about standards-based or proficiency-based education, it's something you want to get behind because it really helps make these kind of programs useful and possible. So, any questions about the Flounder project? The curriculum and the work?
Quiet group.
It's because we're such good presenters. Okay, so what we were kind of hoping you would do is actually stand up and move around for a minute, and we're going to spread these traps out a little bit. And we have pencils and some pieces of paper. And what we'd actually like you to do is there's four different designs. We want you to look at the designs of the traps and predict which one you think will fish the best. And just maybe give us a, you know, why do you think that one would be the best? On the back, you can make suggestions. Those traps are not all built yet. They can be tweaked. So if you have an idea for how to improve a trap, we'd love to hear it. There's also a space to put your name and email address, so if you are interested in finding out the results of our work, we can email that to you later on, keep you in the loop about what's going on. And there's students here, so students should be standing by your trap, maybe talking a little bit about what you did to put into your trap. So, like the design things that you have in there. So, what we're going to ask you to do this just for a few minutes, and then we have some questions for you to answer back to us. So, if you sit down after that, and then we have more time for you to give us questions.
So, come on up. Maybe you guys can start up the trap.
Bring your boats up to the panelist table. We have a couple fishermen in the room, I was wondering if there was any comments first from any of the fishermen in the room on the program before we moved into this question answer. Yes, Sean.
I'd like to commend the kids and know how well it is. As you can see, I've got to speak public. That's all right. I was very impressed with the good job.
Thank you, John. First, you got a mic right there.
Oh.
I don't know if you turn it off.
I guess my biggest thing is I just like to tell the young men and women here, you know, when you have an opportunity like this, of course hindsight's always 20/20, and you know, I've been out of school for a while now, but if you have an opportunity like this, you really should seize it and take it seriously, because it's nothing any more important than getting in on the cutting edge of something. I mean, it's been that way for years. Anything I've seen going through it with the pickles and urchins and everything like that. So, you know, just try to take it serious. You know, no messing around, and good things might come from it. That's all.
Thank you, Curtis. I'll have to thank you, Curtis. He showed up at the Narragansett High School, and he's pretty much the sole reason that that school's participating in the program and things. So, thank you. Went in. Our community really needs this. You need to do it. So it's been really great. Thank you. Are we supposed to do
the next slide?
Okay. So what do you think the impact of the Skipper's program could be overall in the fishing industry? Any feedback? John and then Kevin?
More educated kids. I can't stress enough the education. I watch people look at this industry, work all their lives, and have no idea where they succeeded in the end. And education is good.
Thanks. Kevin?
I just think that this could really, down the road, lead to better regulations. And it sounds kind of altruistic of me, but I think being able to go through the process and be able to articulate yourself in a public hearing or federal rulemaking process and be able to write a public comment or something like that could be better rules that work for everybody. So I think that's kind of a bycatch of all of this, if you will. So.
Any other thoughts? John?
I've been in the van with for the last 2 days. And it's just really interesting to hear the side comments and how serious they are. And I don't think they realize how much they know. And you know, they know 200 times more than I do about certain topics. The other interesting thing for the future, what I'm wondering about is so you're fishing, and how long did it take for you to meet the people that are fishing around you? These guys just realized in the last few days that they've been next to each other last summer and they don't know each other. And now I'm just wondering what's going to be like next summer. They've seen each other in the van. Now when they're back on the stern or on their own boat and they see this person again, you're not wondering who they are.
They're not strangers.
You know who they are.
How about any of the students? Do you guys have any ideas of what the impact could be? Any thoughts?
I know you guys are tired. You went to the movies late last night.
Keep thinking on it. I'll come back to you. How could the fishing industry be more involved in this program? We have a couple fishermen here, but I think you guys have both. John, he came to the kickoff event. He spoke with the fishermen a lot. He's definitely bent my ear about some ideas for the program. And I already mentioned what Curtis can do, but how about any open to students on the hot seat again? Any thoughts? What would you guys like to see from some of your local fishermen? Hey, John.
They don't all have boats. Maybe they do, but some of them are probably going to need a ride and get help get their traps set.
That's a good point, Chris.
Just feedback. I mean, from any fisherman, getting somebody's feet, you know, asking them questions. Everyone has different ideas, and picking out the, you know, what you think might be the best one. You can never have too much knowledge when it comes to something like that.
So how much are you guys interacting? Have you gone out and interviewed local fishermen about winter flounder, anything like that?
30.
You have.
Yeah, you have. Is there any teacher in the bathroom?
Say yes.
Okay. Is that public speaking, guys? How do we create incentives for students to participate in the program? We're going to put you in the hot seat again.
Well, I mean, as a teacher, some of the schools are talking about how they may have too much interest and whether the schools have the capacity to handle